You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The business and economic news of this Wednesday comes in bite-sized chunks, you might say. A little bit here, a little bit there. Starting with this from Katherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative. I'm just going to read her statement to you. The administration, that would be the Biden administration, of course, believes strongly in intellectual property protections, Ambassador Tai said, but in service of ending this pandemic, it supports the waiver of those protections for COVID-19 vaccines. That's all about the patents that Pfizer and Moderna and the rest of them hold on their vaccines in the name of getting more shots in more arms globally. The United States had been against a proposal at the World Trade Organization to do what the White House now says it wants to do. A whole lot of negotiation yet to come on lifting those patent protections, of course. Investors didn't really take much note. Pfizer shares flat on the day. Facebook investors, a little bit put off by the news of their company that CEO Mark Zuckerberg is going to have to be a little bit more specific. Thank you very much, says the company's quasi-independent oversight board, if it wants to keep that ban on former President Trump in place. You've heard that news, of course. Ticker symbol FB today, down about 1% or so. Final little news chunk before we really get going with things. The private payroll processor ADP said this morning the economy added 742,000 jobs last month. The official government report comes out on Friday morning. The whisper number on that one? 1 million new jobs, maybe more. That'd be big, very big. A lot of those jobs, most new jobs in this economy actually come from small businesses. And there is a report out today from the New York Fed looking at small businesses in the service sector and how likely they were to have been able to make it through the pandemic. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genza reports, timing was everything.
Businesses that closed early in the pandemic have a problem now. New York Fed economist Davide Melcongi says their customers forgot about them.
The longer than this establishment remains closed, the more it loses touch with respect to their customers.
Firms that didn't have to close right away might have been healthier to begin with and didn't lose touch. Jessica Wartenweiler is co-owner of The Tinsmith, a wedding venue in Madison, Wisconsin. It never officially closed, even though most of its weddings were canceled.
I was definitely still working every day, you know, corresponding with the booked couples that we had in terms of what's going on with restrictions. Can we have our wedding?
Wartenweiler says she and her partner were able to sell some property to limp through last year, and that gave them a cash cushion. But Wartenweiler wasn't able to get a PPP loan because her business wasn't open in 2019. Businesses that closed in March of last year were also out of luck because the PPP program didn't start until April of 2020. Amanda Fisher at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth says many businesses owned by people of color fit the description of these service sector firms that closed early, no PPP loan, and no cash cushion.
As we know, people of color in the United States have less accumulated wealth because of systemic discrimination over decades and decades. There's more discrimination in the banking sector, so they have fewer lines of credit to draw from.
And the New York Fed says each additional week a business is closed reduces its chances of reopening by 2 percentage points. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Not for the first time in this pandemic, the global supply apparatus is having outsized influence. We're talking minerals and metals here that will be key to a greener economy, more wind turbines and electric cars and batteries, less oil and gas. So lithium for batteries, copper, for instance, to rewire the power grid. But as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, a new report out suggests there is a growing mismatch between demand for those materials and their supply.
An electric vehicle requires 6 times the critical minerals of a gas car. The world's need for lithium for batteries may surge by 75-fold. That is the green future, according to today's report from the International Energy Agency. Executive Director Fatih Birol said in a webinar today that governments and investors need to pony up to extract those materials. Otherwise,
prices of those critical minerals will increase sharply, and the clean energy transitions may well be costlier and therefore slower.
And he suggested stockpiling key elements.
Some countries would build voluntary strategic stocks for some of the critical minerals.
It would be a huge lift to bring enough copper, nickel, and rare earth elements out of the ground for a green transition, says Michael Clare. He's emeritus in security studies at Hampshire College.
A lot of the mines are located in places that's difficult to get access to. They're in countries like the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has all kinds of political problems and environmental problems.
And it's not just a mining issue. Critical minerals need to be processed and purified, a sector where China leads and America lags. But the White House infrastructure plan would put billions into this space. Amy Myers Jaffe teaches climate issues at Tufts. Her new book is Energy's Digital Future.
Just as the U.S. government gave a loan to Tesla to open their first factory, we should be thinking about who are the players out there that the U.S. government could support in lithium processing, in rare earth processing.
These are the essential businesses of the future, she says. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.